He pushed away all thoughts of death as he fought to get the speeding light freighter under control. If he didn't concentrate, he was going to crash into the massive mountain before him, the mountain carved into the likeness of some alien warlord from a long-gone age. The gravity of the Lost World had embraced the falling starship, pulling it into a deadly caress. Below him, past the metal-latticed cockpit windows, burning red wastes gave way to a high desert plateau of wind-carved rock and forbidding cliffs swallowed by a sea of shifting sand dunes. At first, as he dropped through an upper atmosphere shrouded in smoky haze and sulfur-colored clouds, he hadn't even seen the edifice. And then, below 10,000 feet, with every warning light indicator flashing across the controls, he'd been too busy getting a glide slope set up. But now, the massive carved rock rose out of the alien landscape like an inevitability, as though his long leap out through the darkness between galaxies was fated to end there. A monument that had been waiting eons to receive his violent impact. The engine power loss horn chanted its automated litany of doom, an impending stall warning. He would be dead in the next few seconds if he didn't do something fast.
"I believe we are about to be disintegrated should we strike the obstacle in our flight path, Master," warned the bot sitting in the co-pilot's chair.
This sounded like less of a warning and more of a judgment, as though the bot somehow relished their impending demise. The bot had a superior tone that made it come across as sinister and condescending, regardless of its words.
"Lock in the ventral repulsors," the pilot shouted back,
raising his voice to be heard over the screaming wind beyond the hull and the turbulence-driven rattling of almost everything inside the ship. Their speed was well beyond standard re-entry guidelines.
"We're going to try a dead-stick approach."
The VN-708 series freighters were equipped with two ancient Tratt and Clyder ionic engine thrusters for maneuvering, and currently the engine panels inside the cockpit were indicating bad starts in both engines. They'd lain cold and dormant during the 5-year jump through hyperspace it had taken to reach this forgotten planet, and now, when they were desperately needed, they failed to come online. The pilot frowned at his own neglect. He should have done a maintenance check.
7,000 and falling, chanted the bot.
Yes, it definitely sounded enthusiastic, as though a wager had been placed, and the bot would collect only in the case of an epic fail with terminal results. The pilot was well aware of the altitude. They were running out of it quickly. He needed those thrusters to kick in and shift the falling starship away from the massive mountain that raced toward them. For a brief second, staring out through the cockpit window, he caught a glimpse of some giant lizard-like creature down below on a high desert plateau. It had a bull neck and walked on two legs. It must have been 10 stories tall. There was no time for a second look.
"Take the controls," he ordered the bot. "I'm going to try to windmill the turbines."
"Whatever you're going to do, I suggest you do it quickly, Master, if you wish to continue," the bot answered.
It paused and inclined its head as if considering.
"Though I am not severely attached to runtime, I had always envisioned an end much more worthy of my service capacity. Perhaps a company of dead legionnaires at my feet, vanquished by my considerable termination skills."
The pilot lunged for the engine panels at the rear of the cockpit. He found the master bus for the ion thrusters and switched them both to the off position. Then he threw the claw switch master into the start position and waited. Nothing. As he turned to recheck the altimeter, he saw through the window the rising carved rock on the horizon. It was an epic statue the likes of which he'd never seen on any world back in the Galactic Republic. A massive alien warrior every bit the size of the mountain, shaped like a humanoid crocodile, was carved right into the natural stone. The warrior had one clawed hand raised toward the red dwarf giant high in the burning sky, as though it had been clutching at that dying star all through its eons-long existence. It reminded the pilot vaguely of something from Egypt, before the uplift. He tried to remember Egypt. A place of dead pharaohs and lost tombs was all he could bring to mind, and barely at that. Some days he had to concentrate to remember Earth at all.
"Don't waste your time thinking about that now," he yelled at himself as the ship refused to come to life. "It's not a waste of time, because this is the end," he replied. "The end of your foolish quest." He set both turbines and the ion thrusters to windmill, hoping that would bump the startup sequence and cause the engines to fire the next time he threw the master start.
"Sir," intoned the bot.
The condescension was gone this time, replaced by caution, warning, and maybe the realization that runtime was a more coveted thing than previously calculated.
"The bot wants to go on living,"
the pilot thought in some distant part of his mind that was always speaking, always watching, always weighing. He flicked the master off, closed his eyes, and set the sequence to cold start. The entire ship felt like it was on the verge of rattling itself apart at any moment, and even if the engine started, they were rapidly running out of time to evade the mountain-sized lizard man. He brought the master bus back online. A loud bang echoed from the portside thruster, and a damage indicator began to whoop repeatedly. The portside engine instruments all went red. The pilot looked out the side cockpit window, craning his neck to check for the massive rectangle of the thruster that protruded from the wing. It had exploded, and now they were trailing thick black smoke across the sulfur-laden sky behind them. But the number two engine, on the starboard side, had caught. They had power. Some. Barely.